What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Tristan Tritt. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm so happy to be back. Long time no see.
I know, dude. It's been a while. I was just thinking about that. I think the last time I had you on here was like, I think it was before your EP even came out, like back in like 2024 at some point, if I'm right about that. And you've been up to work, man. You've been working. So it'll be cool to catch up on all that. So I guess first and foremost, man, what you've been up to? You seem very busy.
Just playing a lot of shows, hanging out with a lot of great people between Nashville, Texas, playing shows with Austin Mead recently. Just been cranking out songs, writing like crazy. It's been a very, very fortunate year. So I can't complain.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I saw that you were playing some shows with Austin. He's a friend of the show, you could say. So I'm wondering, how was your experience with that? There's some good guys.
Absolutely fantastic. His entire crew, his band, just first off, phenomenal performer. I loved a lot of his songs beforehand, but just seeing him captivate the audience, and we opened for him for about two or three nights in a row out in Texas, which for my debut shows in Texas, opening for Austin, I don't think there could have been a better way to, you know, introduce myself to those beautiful Texans. But yeah, I have nothing bad to say. That was just a fucking fantastic time.
Right on, man. So with it being your first time out in Texas playing shows out there, like what was your first impression of like the crowds, the audience? Is there any differences, similarities between what you're used to?
Texas is a very, it's kind of like its own country, I'm sure, as you know. But I was scared shitless, especially that first show that we did, because I didn't know how they were gonna, you know, receive me. I know they can kind of be a walled garden at times, you know, if you're not a Texan, they can be a little dismissive of you. But it was, from that first show on, it was so easy. And yeah. Austin's guys came up to me at first and they're like, are you doing like mostly covers? Are you going originals? I'm like, we're doing mostly originals. So you kind of didn't, I think we did maybe one or two covers, but it was really like leaning in and having to make everyone believe in the songs that you wrote yourselves, as opposed to just having like, you know, the kind of safety net of others. You know, I have no problem with cover songs, but just opening up with original songs and having the Texans really feel something with it, that was incredible.
Absolutely. You got to make a statement, you know, like this is who we are and all that. And I couldn't think of a better match for you to be out with Austin because of like his style and sound. I feel like you guys match up a lot in that way. It's like, and are very versatile too. Like, you know, Austin could play anything. You could, like, from what I've heard from you, like you could go different routes too. And I think that's a really sweet matchup that I'm glad that got put together.
And too. And I, just with guys like Austin and the current run out of all these bands and artists that are coming out, their versatility is so refreshing. And that just makes me a better artist, because I love the fact that so many people, whether it's Jelly Roll or Post Malone or Dexter and the Moon Rocks or Treaty Oak, bouncing around and kind of throwing in these different influences. That's what music's all about. And that versatility that Austin has and all these new guys, that truly is just making me more hyped to get on the road and also go back in the studio and, you know, throw some shit in there that I haven't done before.
Yeah, for sure, man. So, like I said, last time we talked was, I think, like before your EP came out. So it's been some time, and you've had numerous singles come out after that. So I'm wondering, in your opinion, from then to now, have you felt like you've evolved or changed creatively, whether it's your process or influences, anything like that?
Absolutely. I think learning to really trust your gut, as cliche as that sounds, over time, and just getting more comfortable being a songwriter, has really made it a lot easier for the creative process as a whole. When I first started going out to Nashville and writing with people, I never did more than like two people in a room ever, but you could kind of become passive and just let the ideas kind of go on one person's shoulders when it's you that's going to be singing it every single night. So I've definitely stepped up more as a songwriter and just kind of found my sound, and also blending in things that a couple years ago I didn't think I was ready for, more aligned with like the, I guess, the red dirt country and the southern rock elements. And just getting it to blend all together with, you know, the whole thing everyone's been saying, y'alternative, but that's like the perfect way to describe my sound that I'm leaning into. But that's all been within the last, 11 months.
Yeah, man. And like, kind of diving more into that when it comes to songwriting and finding your sound that you're aiming for you in your own case, was that a more natural thing than something you had to like really focus on? Like, did it come natural to you? Like, it just kind of happened when you like really found what you were looking for, or did you have to really try and like just dig and dig and try to find it?
I think it was a little bit of both. It was a lot of surrender and just kind of letting all the influences that I had throughout my life really come into play, whether it be, you know, guitar riffs that are more based around Lynyrd Skynyrd or like lyrics that were more based along like grunge or even Maynard James Keenan from Tool, and just kind of letting all those things that everyone grows up with just kind of start filling your head naturally, as opposed to like looking at the current state of country music or alternative rock and going, okay, this is where the direction's going. As soon as I stopped giving a shit about that, it just became so much easier to write. So I just, you just kind of let go.
Exactly, man. And like, I'm not a songwriter, so I'm just from an outsider point of view. I feel like when it comes to like, you know, like you mentioned, like Red Dirt and like the Texas scene and what makes it so unique. And I feel like you're in that camp, you know, you could be put in that camp too. Like, there is no boundary on what you could do. It's rock, grunge, like you've been mentioning, you know, the country element, of course, it's always going to have that. It's just such a unique community, for one, just like the people you meet out there are very unique, but also like the actual music coming from it and the culture, it's pretty insane. I'm pretty psyched that you got to go and like experience that firsthand. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely got me on a kick now. Like, I looked at my band after we did that Texas run. I was like, we're going to be back and soon. Like, I want to hit this market as much as possible. Like, I've played the Southeast plenty of times for almost 4 years now. Never got as far out to Texas, and that was by far like one of the most career-changing weekends of my life, just because you see the potential out there, and you also just see how different that sound is compared to Nashville. And I'm not dogging on Nashville. It's just, it's a completely different sound. And how you were talking about me and Austin sound kind of pairing up really well, I just felt more at home around those kind of crowds, because they kind of blend in between those lines too, between rock and country. And it was just kind of breath of fresh air. So it was cool.
For sure. And that's something like you get like you see it out of the Texas and Red Dirt guys and gals out there, not so much anymore, but like back then, like I feel like there was a lot of like not animosity, but there was like a clear like, oh, that's Nashville stuff, like that, like right. So like that's always the rivalry, if you want to call it that. Like, that's always been like something that people have discussed. And do you, having been out there now and like able to experience all that on the creative side too, do you really think that there's an obvious difference, but the rivalry thing, is that is big as people might think, or is it more of like, you know, like a camaraderie thing nowadays? I don't know. I've always wondered that from an artist's point of view.
it's hard to say, just because, so I'm based in Georgia, about 3 hours south of Nashville, so I'm frequently up there, especially with my band. But what I'm seeing specifically in Nashville is an influx of a lot of creators and artists from New York and Los Angeles. So it's getting a little bit more of that polished, clean, almost pop thing. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, pop means popular. It's working. But there's still some piss and vinegar that I think is very organic in Texas. And that might be where the rivalry is, because there really is like, there's a grit to their songwriting. There's a grit to just the live performances. That Texas performances, it's fucking mind-boggling how different it is. It's just organic. It makes you feel like you're in the 70s smoking a, you know, Marlboro Red, drinking a Coors Banquet. It's cool as shit.
Yeah, it is, man. It is. And kind of backing into like with your music and how it's been, you know, progressing and evolving as you've grown with your career. Like, I hope this isn't too broad of a question, but what helps you evolve? You kind of hit on it before. What helps you evolve and change, whether it is your songwriting or what you do in the studio or even like a live performance kind of deal? Like, what is a primary thing that like helps you take that next step?
To be honest, it's just sitting back and just being a fly on the wall around all these experiences. And I've had the very fortunate opportunities to be around a lot of people from different walks of life, and some good, some bad, some exceptional. And it just sitting back and listening to their stories and all that, that really just helps me as a songwriter, whatever you like, if you say storyteller, that's kind of, you know, I hate hearing that. I'm a storyteller, but like it helps that whole process of just sitting back, shutting up, being the dumbest one in the room and just, you know, taking in the influences, whether it's musical professionals, YouTubers, journalists, whatever, and just like letting those people teach you something. You know, just be a forever student. That's there's nothing better than just being a forever student.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. That's a good point. And there's bands. Like, first one that comes to mind is AC/DC. They stick to their formula. They're AC/DC. They could do that kind of thing, right?
Sure.
So how do you – well, I'll just say this first is when I first started listening to your music and, like, I got a grasp of what you're really going for, like, when the EP came out, and then I got to see what came after that. And I was like, to myself, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, he's trying different things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people find their sound, their style – and they just stick with it, which is cool. If it works, fine. Mm-hmm. But the most interesting thing for me as a fan, and I think a lot of other people, is when an artist can try different shit and they like to experiment with different shit. And how do you, like, what stops you from repeating the same formula? What, because you obviously like to try stuff. So, like, what helps you, like, work on new material that you want to try out and get experimental with something else?
It's honestly, it's BIC, because I can, like, just like there's nothing really, like, it's not like I'm signed to a major label where they're expecting, like, I'm building up shows, I'm building audiences, you know, things are growing at a rate that I'm very thankful for, but there's not a bunch of people looking at me to the point where it's like, oh, I can't screw this up. So right now it's just me having fun. And that's really where I started going from, like, looking at this as a career, like more like a job, and as like a pursuit that's not, like, for the rest of my life, where creatively I just want to have fun with it. And obviously, like, if you want to hone in on your sound, that's fine and dandy. But I really think nowadays, even with the biggest, you know, top 10 artists in the world, they're kind of going back and forth too with, you know, they call it genre hopping, they call it whatever they want, but that's the whole point of creating in my eyes. And that, especially for the, you know, 4.5 years I've been doing this, I'm not afraid to fail, and I'm not afraid to look like a dumbass and go, well, that didn't work, let's dial it back a little bit. So yeah, it's having fun.
Yeah, and I feel like, especially at, like, the spot where you are in your career, and, like, you're an up and comer, you know how they say, you're an up and comer, whatever. Like, that is good that you're willing to do that. You're willing to, if there is something that doesn't work out, you're willing to say, all right, fuck it, didn't work out, let's try something else. Let's try this again. Let's try that again. So that's a good mindset to have. And I mean, just as an outsider, like, I don't know if I could take that. Like, it's really cool that artists can, like, really, you know, they could really buck up and they're like, all right, let's just keep going. So kudos to you on that. And I also wanted to mention, before I forget, your social media game is off the charts, man. Like, the dedication to that, because I know that is tough nowadays for artists. And, like, you get some guys that are really good at it and some guys that just hate it. And, like, whether it's, like, the TikToks or the reels and stuff, is that something that, and I might have asked you this, like, the first time I interviewed, but I forget, is that something that you've just always been good at? Is, like, being able to connect and, like, promote your stuff? Or
no, I was terrible at it. I was so god awful at it. And just in the last probably year and a half, I had to, like, tell myself, like, no matter what you do, like, every day, if people don't know who you are, it's not a Disney movie. It's not one day you're going to be playing in a bar and some guys be like, sign this man for $2 million. Like, it's you in the age of social media, you have to compete, at least in the sense of people knowing who you are, whether it's infamy or fame or whatever. And I'm not chasing the fame. I'm just chasing, number one, being a professional dumbass and making people laugh, because I've been doing that since I was a kid. You know, I was a chunky kid, so I had to learn how to get funny fast so people didn't whoop my ass.
Right there with you, buddy.
So it's a personality builder. But yeah, the social media part, once I kind of figured out that I thought it was all about being prim and polished and being super professional with it. And then those didn't respond well at all. And then as soon as, like, I had ones where it's just me saying, the dumbest shit off the top of my head, like having half a concept and figuring it out as I'm recording with the stutters all in there and, you know, me messing up words. People responded to that, I guess, the same way they respond to, you know, garage rock or grunge or something. It's just very human. It's how we all talk. We don't talk like newscasters. We don't sound like we've been shot out of Pro Tools live unless you're just going completely Milli Vanilli.
Right.
It's just, I don't know. But it came easy once I just started, same with music, just having fun and saying, fuck it. And people have responded. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, man. And also, before we move on, before I forget, the Theo podcast cracked me up. Let me tell you this from my point of view when Post was on and everything. I was sitting in my living room, like, few beers deep, and I just turned it on, and they mentioned your name, and I was like that meme, like, oh, shit, like the Leo DiCaprio meme.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, they started pulling pictures up, and then there was, like, articles I wrote about you. Like, this is fucking nuts. And that's when I had to DM you, and I thought for sure you saw it yet, but I don't know if you did.
Every time I've heard about me being on that damn podcast, it's from y'all. Every single time. It's always like, hey, you're on this. I'm like, shit, what's going on now? I love Theo though. He is such a great guy, and every time I see him, he's like the older brother that just can't turn it off. Like he's funny as shit. But you know, every single time something happens, y'all are like, "Hey, go check this out." I'm like, "Shit,
now what?"
Yeah, he's gonna flame me again. But no, he's great. That was great publicity. So I was like, I don't give a shit. Roast me all you want, buddy.
Right. Yeah, for sure, man. But let's move on to your last single. Wannabe came out in June. Loved it, first off. I loved it. And were you happy with the reception? Happy with everything turned out and everything?
Absolutely, yeah. Very, very minimal promotion on it, just kind of relying off the social medias. And just recently, it's been on a massive uptick, and I'm super thrilled with it. Because that one was... I wasn't expecting that to be the next single. I have like a whole queue of songs that we've got, you know, pretty much ready to go. And we wrote that about a month before the release, and it just kind of happened. Me and a guy, Brad Wagner out in Nashville. And I just loved it. I loved the concept behind it. I loved the realness in the lyrics between like every, you know, son that grows up with his father at some point looks and like sees themselves as a child in their shadow. And then as they grow older, whether it's the way they look or the way they may say something, you know, you look in the mirror and you're like, damn, I'm becoming him. So that was, it just really meant a lot. And I was really, I'm sure my team, my distribution team was going to kill me. Cause I was like, we got to get this out before Father's Day. Like you got to get this out before Father's Day. And they pulled it off. And that song has just been a really, just a really sentimental song. I'm incredibly proud of it, and I'm proud of everyone that was involved. The instrumentation on it is fantastic. Everything's just it's one of my favorites to perform live by far.
That's awesome, man. And like the theme and like the story, I guess, behind it, like that it's very. Of course, everyone tries to connect with their audience in songs, but like that one, like really hit the nail on the head. As like in the case of like. Relatability, like being able to relate to that, like everyone can relate to that. So I feel like that was a really cool, you hit the mark on that one for sure. And you mentioned there, like when it comes to singles, like when you have a feeling, like a better feeling about one than the other, like what drives that? What makes you be like, all right, I don't know if this one's gonna do good, but this one is. Like, is there a certain way? I guess obviously the way it turns out, but like you know what I mean? Like, is there a certain thing that like differentiates them for you? Like to which ones are going to do better than the others?
I'm sure my business sense is jack shit when it comes to those kind of decisions, because I'm really just going off of feel and emotion, which one really grabs my attention. Sonically, I'll take preferences from people and be like, hey, like, does this make sense to release a song like this and then roll on to the next one? Like Stop the Ride and Wannabe are fairly similar in tonality, so it made more sense. That just sort of worked out in its own way, but especially how nowadays is like such a single based economy in music. Like it's not really that much about EPs or LPs anymore. I just kind of go with whatever grabs me. If I'm listening to it and I get choked up, or if I like, it makes my leg bounce a bunch, I'm like, okay, let's roll with that one.
Yeah. And like, when it comes to the whole like single driven, like industry nowadays, I feel like it might be better for you and like people in your, like, I guess, age group, whatever, like our age group, versus guys who have been doing it for like 20 something years. So like, is that, and like, you got people who are big album people, they want to just put albums out and everything. And like, you know, I love listening to albums all the way through too, but obviously nowadays with the short attention span everyone has, like you have to do singles. Has that been a struggle? Like just having to like have a single ready to go? Like, how does that whole process work for you?
At first it was kind of a struggle just because growing up with my dad and him being based out of the 90s, there was a very set way that the music industry had been doing it for, you know, 40 plus years. And, it was just, it always was, you know, have an album and then a single is going to come for that. One or two singles will come from that album and that's what you're going to promote. Yeah. And I found out very quickly, it's like, oh, that's not, first off, I can't afford to do it that way because it's so damn expensive. Second off, like you said, with the attention span, it just makes more sense to do the singles and just, you know, get it out that way. Plus with content nowadays, not to get into the whole jargon of that shit, but like if you shoot your whole wad at once, it's very hard to keep promoting that for time on, as opposed to like Gavin Adcock is a fantastic example. He releases so consistently that he's always got something new and exciting. And it's kind of like dangling the carrot with your listeners and it keeps them excited, you know.
Yeah.
But that all being said, of course I want to make a full LP and, you know, even do something like a concept album, like something Sturgill did, or, you know, what Dexter and the Moonrocks do with their albums. Like, I would love to do that at some point.
Yeah, man, for sure. And like you said, it's hard to battle that, you know, how the industry is, and it, like, you want to do something, but you know you just can't. Like, that just has to be kind of a bummer, but... You seem to be doing good with it, though, with the string of singles you've been, like, releasing consistently, man. And, like, I could only imagine how much work that has to be. Because I don't know how the whole business side of it is, but, like, having to make yourself do, like get in the studio right and everything, like, that has to take a lot of, like willpower, I guess that's the right word for it. Like, it has to take a lot from a person because, like... I don't know. I just don't know how artists do that without getting burnt out. Do you find yourself getting burnt out a lot?
I'll have moments like, I mean, 4th of July weekend just happened and, you know, I'm cleansing my liver as we speak. But, you know, after you come back from something like that where everyone's hanging out and it's just a good time, it's very easy for me to get back refreshed and do that. But like just the menial stuff, even going on the road, me and my guys all suffer together. We'll take shifts driving. Like, we're, you know, we're cramming into hotels. We're doing everything basically by the book of the old school way. And with everything else, I have a fantastic small team behind me, like a skeleton group, my manager, publicist, and all that, just helping out. But it's all basic stuff that I agreed, like, when I started doing this, like, I have to force myself to do it because no one, if I'm going to work for myself, no one is going to tell me when to get up and do something or when to show up or respond to emails or hop on a podcast. You just have to be able to like, just say, okay, get this shit done. There's no excuse. Yeah. And that's been a huge part of my life is that discipline within the last, you know, 5-6 years. And if I didn't have that going into this, you know, career path, I don't think I'd be able to sustain it nearly as much. Cause I've seen a lot of people who are 10 times more talented and they just don't have the gumption to get up and do the, you know, the menial shit, not the most fun stuff. The stage is always the best in these recording studio, but like that's the tiny shit. You got to have discipline.
Yeah. And that's, you kind of hit it on the head there, man. Like that's hard to teach yourself to do. Like you said, you already had that trait going into it. So I could only imagine, you know, I don't want to call them lazy because that's not the right word, but like going into this career path and not having the gumption, like you said, like I don't know if you could teach yourself how to do that, at least not very easily.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Like, yeah, I've seen a lot of people and that's kind of the beauty of what I said earlier of like just being able to sit back and listen to people. Cause I've heard a lot of horror stories of like people who really just had it like right in the palm of their hand. And for whatever reason, they just couldn't get past that next step simply because they wouldn't do the most menial task. And it's like, in your head, you want to shake them and be like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Like, you're telling me you didn't show up for one meeting and that just cost you your whole career. Stupid stuff like that. But it's, yeah, if in any walk of life, if people are serious about something, you just have to understand, first off, if you're going to work for yourself, that idea you have of this freedom and I'm going to be sitting on a yacht and doing all bullshit. You're working every single day thinking of ideas. You're going to be taking the stress of everyone else because they're getting paid no matter what. You are responsible for all this shit. And I knew that going into it. My dad was a fantastic teacher with that, but he basically, one of the greatest blessings I ever had was as soon as I told him I was going to do this, he just goes, good, good luck. And I just had to figure everything out from there. And I was like, fuck yeah. But like, at first you're like, dude, like, help me out. And then now I'm so thankful that I got past those shitty moments, and I'll have many more to come, but it's the perseverance of getting through that. And that's what builds the discipline. It's just stupid shit like that. And I know this sounds like a Joe Rogan podcast, but it's the truth. It really is. It's just something that I'm literally living through as we speak.
Right on, man. And like, the more you go through that, the shitty parts of it, it gets easier, I guess, with each other time you have to do it. It just got to get used to it for sure, man.
I also wanted to ask,
who, like, where do you record at when you like, and who like produces for you? Like, who's the personnel behind your songs and everything?
So the first two songs I released, I think back in 2021, I did that with a full BAM recording, and surprisingly, Leroy Powell, who was the producer for Firewater, for Whiskey Myers, he did Oblivion and Right on Time. After that, I started working in East Nashville with a guy named Jerry Fuentes, who was in a band called the Los Bandoleros. We recorded his house. And then recently, I've been working with Brad Wagner at one of my buddy's places. But it's all like, it's so cool now. They have these in-home studios that are literally indiscernible to, you know, a $6,000 a day room. Like, I get the vibe and all that goes with it, but like, people in their house, if they're proficient at any type of digital audio workstation, they can pull that shit off. So it's just been house recordings and yeah, Jerry Fuentes, Brad Wagner.
Man, nice. Cause I was thinking, like, out in the Texas Red Dirt guys, have you heard of Taylor Kimball?
I'm not sure if I have.
He's the guy who's done like Coe's Records, Austin's Records, like everybody out there, South Hall at one point. Like, so I was just wondering if like, that would be a cool, I don't know if you seek them out or they seek you out. I don't know how that works when you find like a producer or anything, but that'd be a cool one to get involved with or something. I feel like that's a good match for the sound you have too. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, man. But, here's kind of a softball question, so forgive me, but, the year 2025, we're about halfway through it now, and usually I ask what people's goals are, but, you know, we're halfway through it. So have you reached the goals you wanted to get to this year, or there's some stuff you really are still trying to get to? Like, where are you at on that?
Definitely more shows. Little small goals that I've set, I've hit, which is what keeps me going. But, like, the big ones, there's always – room for more shows out in, you know, markets that I haven't played, states I haven't played, and just writing the next best, the better song than the last one, and just trying to compete with myself. That's pretty much just the ongoing goal that will always be. So,
yeah. And did you say that, do you do co-writing often, or like collabing and all that?
I do. Typically what I've been doing is just me and a producer, and then we'll they're usually either great guitar players, lyricists, or both. And then we'll just kind of build the track together. Too many chefs in the kitchen for me. I know some people are different, but I got too much Napoleon complex. I got that short man syndrome. I gotta dial that shit back.
Hey, everyone's different, man. Everyone's different, but, cool, man. So obviously you talked about you were playing some Texas shows and all that. So like, what do we have coming up with your shows touring wise?
Mainly in the Southeast. We're hitting some stages down in Central Florida, doing a couple rodeos here and there, but all that will be available through social media, TristanTritt.com. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting year.
Awesome,
to
man.
Finish out at least. Exciting rest of the year.
Yeah, for sure, bro. And before we go, what do we got to look forward to on, like, new music stuff? Like, what's coming down the pipe?
Probably have new music coming out before September, and just I'm hoping to get about 3 or 4 more releases before the end of 25. If I can hit 3 more, then I'm happy with it. But definitely new music is always down the line. And like I said, new show updates constantly coming in. And I'm sure more dumb videos from my, you know, my stupid face on people's feeds. So there's always that to look forward to.
It's always good to see you pop up on the feed in the morning, dude. It's always good. But hell yeah, man. Tristan, thanks for hopping on, dude. But before we go, if you want to throw out your socials, websites, plugs, anything you got, floor is yours.
TikTok, Tristan Tritt 13, and then Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff, just Tristan Tritt. And then visit TristanTritt.com with all the dates, merchandise, all that good stuff.
Hell yeah, man. Y'all make sure to do that. Also, check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Just Google us. We'll show up. We're on all the socials. So, Tristan, thanks a lot for hopping on. It's always a pleasure, dude. And have a good rest of the year. Looking forward to some new music.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, brother.
Yep, you have a good one, brother. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night. So why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?